Okay. One second here. Om Namah, let's raise up. Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So Prabhupada entitles the canto 2, The Cosmic Manifestation. So this first part, Shukadeva Goswami begins preaching. So the question that Parikshit asked at the end of the first canto was, what is the duty of a man on the point of death? So now the conversation has switched. First canto was primarily Suta Goswami, the sages of Naimisharanya. Now, beginning in chapter 2, the conversation is Shukadeva Goswami, Maharaj Parikshit. So the first part, the prime subject matter for hearing. So Shukadev says, your question, Parikshit, glorious. Your question is actually the most important question that a human being can ask. Because death can come any time. So we should know ahead of time how to prepare for death. So at the last stage of one's life. So Shukadeva Goswami begins with what is called how to realize God or see God on the lowest possible level. The lowest possible level. In other words, many people cannot accept the existence of the deity. Right? I'm sure you've met them. They cannot accept, no, you're worshiping idols. So Shukadev says, okay, for gross materialists who can only see the material energy, they can begin their God realization by seeing the universe in terms of a personal manifestation. And that's part 3, the Virat Rupa. In the section where it says, at the last stage of one's life, Shukadeva is primarily telling Parikshit, all right, don't be afraid. You should take shelter of Krishna. You're going to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. You should be bold. Don't be afraid. So then, the Virat Rupa. Shukadeva says, for those who cannot accept the personal form of God, they can begin by seeing the whole cosmic manifestation in terms of a personal form. That's called Virat Rupa. Then, in the beginning of chapter 2, Shukadev says to Parikshit, if you are enlightened, then you don't become overly involved in material things. What did Prabhupada used to say? Simple living, high thinking. So that's the idea. We have to keep body and soul together. We have to eat. We have to sleep. We have to work. Yes, no problem. But it should not become something that consumes, and that's all you do is worry about your material existence. So one should endeavor only for the minimum necessities. Just what you need, and the rest of the time should be engaged in spiritual inquiry. Srimad Bhagavatam. The next part of Canto 2, the Lord in the heart. Shukadev now goes to the next form, which is how to realize God in the heart. And he gives a description of what the super soul looks like. And that reminds me, how many arms does super soul have? Oh, we learned that a few months ago, did we not? The super soul has four arms. Yes. Because the super soul is an expansion of which Purusha avatar? There's three Purusha avatars. Mahavishnu, Garbhodaksha Vishnu, Shiro. Which one is super soul coming from? Shiro Dakshai Vishnu. Very good. We made advancement. Very good, class. Okay. So Shukadev begins to explain the Lord in the heart, what he looks like, how to meditate. And then in the next section, whenever the yogi desires to leave this planet of human beings, he says, a real yogi, no problem. A real yogi can leave his body at will. He doesn't have to, he can, whenever he decides he wants to go, he can do. Alright, next. A person who has broader intelligence. So in this chapter, Shukadeva Goswami says, if you want wealth, you should worship this. If you want power, you should worship this. He gives all these material benedictions and how to achieve it. But then he says, a person who has broader intelligence, whether he's full of material desires, is free from desires, or wants liberation, he should worship Krishna. That's a very important verse. There's no need to worship anybody else. You may have material desires, good, worship Krishna. You may be free from material desires, worship Krishna. You may want liberation. What name of Krishna means he gives liberation? Oh, what do you know? Mukunda. Very good. He gives liberation. So yes, a devotee knows that whatever it is I want, everything can be achieved simply by worshipping Krishna. Oh, in this next section, men who are like dogs, hogs, camels and asses. So now, at this point, Sutta Goswami comes back. Not Sutta, Shonaka Rishi. The conversation between Parikshit and Shukadev is halted. This section here, don't worry about it. Leave it, just leave it. This next section, Shonaka comes in. He's speaking to Sutta. And he makes this statement. Who would not be attracted to this message of Bhagavatam? People who are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. They're the ones who have no interest in Srimad Bhagavatam. They want to praise the movie stars, the athletes, the politicians. That's who they're interested in. People who are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. But those who are broader intelligence, they want to hear about. Alright, so now in chapter 4, once again, Shukadeva Goswami is back in the conversation. He's going to continue speaking Bhagavatam, but before he does that, he offers a stream of prayers to Krishna. These very, very nice prayers in chapter 4, all about how Shukadeva remembers Krishna. Then in chapter 5, another conversation comes in. Shukadeva is speaking, but within that he speaks to Parikshit of a conversation between Narada Muni and his father. Who's Narada's father? Brahma. Yes. He gives. So here's what Narada says to his father. Narada says, you know, are you God? Are you the Supreme? I'm wondering, if you are the Supreme, I see you do all this great stuff. Are you God? And Brahma explains who he is to his son. And Brahma, to his credit, says, no, I am not Supreme. Unlike Hiranyakashipu, who tried to tell his son, I am Supreme. But Prahlad said, no, you're not. So Brahma, he says, no, people think I'm the Supreme when they see how I can do, and we're going to hear about that tomorrow. In Canto 3, we're going to hear about all of Lord Brahma's mystical creations, how he creates from all parts of his body. So Brahma says to his son Narada, yes, people in general might think that I'm God when they see my powers, but above me, there is the Supreme Lord. What's his name? I don't hear it.
Krishna.
All right. So now, in the next part of chapter 5, a synopsis of creation is given. Then, the universal form of the Lord. Now, this description of the universal form of the Lord comes up several times. We're also going to hear about it tomorrow in Canto 3. But each description is a little different and a little more elaborate. Then, the cause of all causes. So, in this section of chapter 6, Brahma is explaining to Narada how there are so many things going on, but Krishna is the original cause of all causes. Sarva Karana Karana. Everybody say? So that's there in Brahma Sanhita. It's definitely there in Bhagavatam. Then, chapter 7, Hare Krishna. As you see, I gave it one star. Chapter 7, Lord Brahma describes the Leela avatars. I mentioned an hour ago how there are 6 different kinds of incarnations. So Leela avatars means God does something amazing pastimes. So Brahma quickly goes through so many different Leela avatars. When he gets to Ram, because Ram is also a Leela avatar, I'm talking about Lord Ramachandra, he goes, I think, 3 or 4 verses. But everybody else just gets one verse. Talks about the Gajendra story and this, all these different avatars. But then he gets to Krishna. And when he gets to Krishna, many verses. So you can see Brahma is devotee of Krishna, because he spends a good portion of the chapter on Krishna. And then the chapter finishes. Who can and cannot know God? This topic was also discussed in the Mahabharata. Dhritarashtra asked this question of Sanjay. How come you have this faith and understanding of Krishna and I don't? So who can and cannot know God? Very simple. You need association of devotees. When you come in contact with devotees, then you are able to know God. Not outside. And that will also be discussed tomorrow when we hear from Kapila Dev. He will also say the same thing. The beginning, you want to make spiritual advancement? Association of devotees. You're a human being. You're going to associate with somebody. So if you associate with, what did we read? People who are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. You will also become a dog, hog, camel, and ass. But if you associate with devotees, you'll become a devotee. What is the greatness of this family that we have here? We're devotees. And we've been together now how many years? Right? Some of us have been together for over 20 years. Some of you 10 years. But we've made advancement, have we not? We've made advancement. Tangible advancement. All because of association with devotees. Now, next part, Parikshit sets up the remainder of his inquiries. So in chapter 8, Parikshit asks a whole series of questions. It actually goes, let's see, 6, almost 29 verses is Parikshit's questions to Shukadeva, which are going to form the basis of the rest of the Bhagavatam. So that's chapter 8. It's simply Parikshit saying, I want to know about this, I want to know about this, I want to know this. The whole chapter, 29 verses, is all about Parikshit. I want to know all this stuff within 7 days. Then we get to chapter 9. Chapter 9 is a very important chapter of the Bhagavatam. It begins, and you see I've given it 2 stars, re-self-realization. Why do I say re? Because these 3 verses, the first 3 verses of chapter 9, is the basis of what Prabhupada says. Originally, we were with Krishna. By misuse of independence, we are now in the material world, and we have to get self-realized to go back. Originally, you were, but because of envy and misuse of free will, you became unself-realized, and now you are on the path to becoming re-self-realized. Who wants to go back to Godhead? Stay with the program. Stay with the process. Okay, then the rest of chapter 9 is about the dawn of creation. Lord Brahma finds himself one day on top of the lotus flower, and all around him, dark. Dark, dark, dark. And he knows there's water because there's waves. And Brahma has this desire, I want to create. But he doesn't know how to do it. So, he decides that he will do tapasya, penance. Because he hears 2 words. Ta-pa. Everybody say, which means, now I must do penance and austerities. So Brahma meditates for a long time. And then Narayan, everybody say, appears to him. So the next section, a description of Vaikuntha. Narayan takes Brahma, or lets him see Vaikuntha. He actually sees the spiritual world. Now, Prabhupada says that besides Brahma seeing Narayan in the spiritual world, separately, Brahma was taken by Krishna to see his abode. And that's how we have the Brahma Samhita. Govindam Achintamani Prakara Sadhamasu. So Prabhupada says, once Narayan took him to see Vaikuntha, but then separately Krishna took him to see Goloka Vrindavan. Now, when Narayan appears to Lord Brahma, Narayan says to Brahma, good job. And he shakes his hand. Narayan shakes Brahma's hand. Good job. I am very pleased. And he says, oh, that's coming up. I won't spoil it. Okay, I went ahead of myself. So, there's a description of Vaikuntha, and also in this chapter, a description of Narayan is given. So, this is why Srimad Bhagavatam is special. Because we can tell everybody exactly what God looks like. It's not that we make, no, it's given in Srimad Bhagavatam what Narayan looks like. And as I've said hundreds of times, nobody else can do that. Nobody else, they don't have a description of God. They don't have it in the other religions. We have it. Srimad Bhagavatam. Description of the personality of Godhead. Okay, so now I'm there. So when Brahma, when Narayan shook Brahma's hand, he said, "Yes, you have satisfied me by your penance and austerities." And then he says, "The potential power is penance only." The significance of that, if you want any kind of success, material or spiritual, you have to perform penance and austerity. Even if you want to be materially successful, you have to undergo penance and austerity. What to speak? You want to become self-realized? You want to see God? You think it's cheap? Yeah, where is it? I'll just go on my iPhone. No. If you want to really, actually realize God, severe penances and austerities is required. One of them, fasting on Ekadasi. You're doing that to please Krishna. Keep in mind, that's why we do it. It's pleasing because the potential power is penance only. That's why we follow the how many principles? 4 regulative principles. It's penance. You're denying yourself sensual bodily pleasures. But there's a purpose behind it. The potential power is penance only. You know the story from Mahabharata. Draupadi kept herself voluntarily blind. Right? Gandhari. Thank you. Gandhari, right? Not Draupadi. Hare Krishna. She made herself blind so that she wouldn't be puffed up. She would remain submissive to her husband. But that day she told Duryodhan to come. The idea was because she had performed all this penance and austerity, she was going to transfer it to Duryodhan. But who got in the way? Krishna. Why are you going in front of your mother naked? This is not right. Krishna was the deciding factor in that whole battle of Kurukshetra. Every way you turn, you read that Mahabharata, all of a sudden, Krishna's in there. Adjust everything. That's why we love Krishna. He's the greatest. Sri Krishna Bhagavan Ki. So the idea was, she had, because of her blinding herself like that, she had all this shakti. So this is what Narayan is saying. The potential power is penance only. So keep that in mind. You want to become more powerful, just do penance. The best penance, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Celibacy, also, very, very powerful penance. Celibacy makes you very strong. Okay. So next, Brahma petitions the Lord. So Brahma says to Narayan, I want to know how to create. I have this burning desire to create. How do I go about doing it? Then we get 3 stars. The original 4 seed verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is known as Chatu Shloki. Prabhupada says, There's a Chatu Shloki of Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, verses 8, 9, 10, 11. And he says, there, this verse, this section, four seed verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. In other words, this Srimad Bhagavatam is 18,000 verses. Brahma only needed four. On the basis of these four seed verses, he's able to go about the creation of the universe. Just from these four seed verses. So if you're interested, you want to make a note, it's in chapter 9, verses 31 through 37. Because there's two introductory verses, then a commentary verse. So 33, 34, 35, 36. Those are the actual four, but there's one after and two before. They go together. So if you're interested, this is where the 18,000 verses all comes from this. Then the last part of chapter 9, the disciplic succession of Srimad Bhagavatam. So it was spoken by who? Narayan. Lord Brahma. Okay? Lord Brahma spoke it to Narada, and Narada gave it to, we heard about it, Vyas. And then from Vyas to Dev, it has come down. Alright. Now in chapter 10, okay, wait, everybody chant the Maha Mantra.